excited about getting to preach this week. And I have to confess, I'm a little nervous because I thought of what Jesus said about a prophet is not without honor except in his own town, among his own relatives, and his own house. Now, the other scriptures that are assigned to this lady, they are Jeremiah 31, Psalm 119, and Genesis 32, and Timothy 3. And they all deal with the question of purpose, or in another word, a vocation. So the scriptures discuss how we are supposed to sense our living in the world. Now, when Jean asked me to preach for Lady Sunday, she acknowledged that I am an ordained elder of the church. And so I reluctantly agreed. Because writing sermons was often a chore for me. And so I'm going to need your help. Lady Sunday, as Jean mentioned, has been a part of the church calendar since the 1920s and 30s. And honors all of our baptismal call as Christians to the ministries of teaching the faith, reaching into the community, witnessing to the gospel, and working to transform lives. Did I turn this on? No, I didn't do it. I hope that's not too loud. So the question is for today, as laity as well as our clergy, as always, how are we to be faithful to God in our everyday lives? And what is our calling or our vocation? Well, think about the gospel that John just read about that persistent widow in the lesson today. And I gotta think that when Jesus told that parable, he had kind of a chuckle to himself. But it's kind of funny, isn't it? I mean, because what's the difference between persistence and stubbornness? Yeah. Well, it's a matter of perspective, isn't it? Other people are stubborn. I'm persistent. Did you hear about the stubborn lion that refused to resort to cannibalism? He ended up swallowing his pride. Oh. All right. How about, what do you call a country that is run by a bunch of stubborn old deer? Kind of like what we got now. A stagnation. No. How did the farmer deal with the sheep's stubborn will, a wool? With sheer willpower. All right. As you can tell, I like to be funny. I was the class clown with embarrassment to my parents, the teachers, and educators that they were. And I was, my friend Rich Klein was visiting me this weekend and hopefully helped me organize my thoughts a little bit better. And I told him about that. I wanted to start off with a few jokes, and he says, "Give it up." But I can't. And then some people say I'm stubborn, but I refuse to believe them. But seriously, let's look at this scripture, this parable in the Gospel of Luke that is a sign for today's Sunday of Lady, and about the persistent widow and the unjust judge. So the challenge is to figure out its meaning at the time Jesus first told it, and then when Luke wrote it down several decades later, and then what it means to us today. There once was a judge, not a particularly honest or devout judge, and a widow came before him to plead her case. He didn't want to listen, but she kept coming back day after day to plead, bargain, beg, argue, barter, petition. At last he gave in. Not because he turned suddenly merciful, honest, or even impartial. Because we don't even know if her case was justified or not. We don't get the details. They're actually not that important. And that's kind of what our case too, even if our plea isn't necessarily justified, God will still hear us. But this unjust judge wouldn't until he got tired of this woman coming to him and beating it up. The Greek says it's, she's beating my reputation black and blue. Now, in the meantime, the world had changed between the time Jesus told the parable and when it was written down by Luke. Because at that time, Jesus' followers were beginning to be persecuted. They were discouraged that he had not returned as soon as they had hoped he would be. And some of the scholars think that Luke added those verses at the end of the passage for to encourage the early Christians. And then he added that if an unjust judge could be moved by the persistence of someone he was indifferent to, how much more is God moved by the prayers of the people he loves? So, stay faithful, says God, or says Luke. Be ready for the Lord's coming. And so Luke casts God as the judge, infinitely more gracious and kind. And he casts us as the widow. Well, at the time that Christ was telling this parable, and probably later in Luke as well, even more so, the judges were political appointees of the ruling class. And they were part of a corrupt leadership system. And their decisions could be bought and sold. And so we have no record in the Gospels about Jesus giving any respect to the judges of his time. So the question, it begs the question, why would Jesus cast God, whom he loved, as an unjust judge? Well, Luke, you know, often portrays widows and orphans as the symbol of vulnerability. And in many ways, she was. A Jewish widow was someone who lost her husband after she was 60 years old. Now, because if she was younger, Hebrew law expected her to remarry, preferably a brother of her first husband, or her deceased husband. And since Jewish girls married near their 14th birthday and had as many babies as was natural at the time before birth control, many women died in their 30s. There were few widows in the land of Israel. Now, a widow could inherit her husband's property, but she was hard put to keep it. Any relative or neighbor could claim it with the weight of common law on his side. So the widow was exercising her right to represent herself in her plea, and the judge was exercising his indifference. And Jesus was telling a realistic story because we found out through some archaeological excavations, they found some court records from a village in Mesopotamia where there was a document of another widow's petition before another judge. And she couldn't afford a bribe, but she could persist and in the end won her case. Now, did Jesus cast God as the feisty bantam head in his story because he believed God stands with the little people? Or did he cast us, and did he cast us as the judge because we can be preoccupied with power and control? So was Jesus saying the little people still had a way to survive and to make things better, not by the sword or by the bribe, but by asking and asking over and over again and wearing down those hearts of stone? Now, what would it be like today if a similar story or illustration? How about the communities in our own states suing the drug manufacturers for the epidemic of the opium crisis? Or how about Greta Thunberg, the climate activist, 16-year-old Swedish girl, leading that protest march, speaking to the United Nations and challenging them, how dare you let this happen? Or a gay couple taking their injustice all the way to the Supreme Court and winning. Or the Kurdish refugees in northern Syria appealing to the world community to keep the Turks from annihilating them. Little people making a big difference. So maybe Jesus was saying, God was with the widow when no one else would. She were told she needed help, and she asked repeatedly. So Jesus uses, I think, parables to allow us some freedom in interpretation or creativity, shall I say. He didn't intend, I don't think, just one way to understand it. And that's what makes his message so universal and easier, helpful in the understanding it, and timeless, new and alive, whenever and however we encounter it. So Luke was right to interpret the parable for the people of his time. But Jesus invites us to interpret it in our own way, too. Two possibilities, then, maybe. Maybe more, but I can only see two. And that is the persistent widow and the unjust judge. First, Jesus was portraying God as the widow, where he stands with the little people and he takes the little things they do over and over again and gives them the power, us, you, to make change. And maybe Luke portrayed God as the judge who hears our suffering and answers our prayers more faithfully than the indifferent judge. The widow asked the judge over and over again until he gave in. And God's been asking us something over and over again, too. Are we like the judge when we don't hear or see the woman and her need? Like a parishioner I knew many years ago. He had survived several heart attacks, and his heart was very weak, but he'd been given extra life, a longer life than he expected. And he called me in for a consultation one, and I went and visited him at the house, and he was saying he thought that he got this extra life because God had some special purpose for him. But he couldn't figure out what it was. And all the while he's talking to me, his grandson is sitting at his feet. And he's not indifferent, he's just kind of oblivious to it. And then I said, I point to his grandson. We don't want to be judged wanting instead of judging generously or graciously, I believe. Or are we like the widow? When we're in need and wanting, and it feels like no one is listening, we might feel that God isn't there or doesn't care. The widow's perseverance reminds us not to give up and to have faith, because that's what it takes to persevere to get what you need. You can't always get what you want, but if you try sometime, you just might find you get what you need. So here we are, living our everyday faith in our ordinary ways, trying to embody the light of God. There are multiple vocations for us to choose from. Just for some, you know, look in the bulletin insert, right? But are we missing God's meaning around us, like the grandfather who missed seeing his son as his purpose for living? Then we need to use our persistence, our perseverance, even our stubbornness to fulfill our God-given vocations. So, how has perseverance or even your stubbornness helped you fulfill your Christian vocation? Next time you find your chin on the ground, there's a lot to be learned. Look around. Just what makes that little ant think he can move that rubber tree plant? But he's got high hopes. He's got high hopes. He's got I know sky apple pies. Well, let us sing the closing hymn and be on our way. Get out there and do your God-given duty. Amen. Make it so, number one. Here I am.